But he's semi-retired, but he's semi-retired. He's taking, he has a police job at lunchtime at school, for the school department. And he's only there an hour at noontime. But,
he's directing traffic for?
Yes, directing traffic during the lunch. And believe me, there's many of those children that are throwing snowballs, and they really very hard. They don't listen very much, you know. Just the same as they do in the classrooms, I guess.
Would you know anything about children?
Well, I don't know. I did go to supervise the classes for two years at the school, and not having any children of my own, I don't think that I'm glad that I don't have children to bring up today. There's such changes in them, you know. But I guess that's all I have to say about the children.
Did you ever, did your mother,
well,
say something about your family now?
Well, my mother was, my father was Alec Michel, and my mother was Itzit Lapierre. And my mother's father was Joseph Lapierre. And he came to this town with the first priest in this parish. It was a cousin of his from Montreal.
What was the priest's name? Father Gosselin, wasn't it?
Gosselin. Father Gosselin. And he was, he used to do some work around the rectory, and also he sang in the church for 24 years, I think. Well, he was married three times, my grandfather. His first wife was a Medora. He had one child by the first wife, Joseph Lapierre. Then he was married, second wife, there was a parent, and he had one girl, Suzanne Lapierre. And his second wife, the third wife, was a seer. And he had 12 children by his third wife. And my mother, he had a farm, and they lived on the Caribou Road, what we call the Caribou Road. And 3 miles out on the Caribou Road. So they had my mother was crippled. She was born with, it was probably in delivering the child. She had a dislocated hip. And her right leg was 3.5 inches shorter than the other. But she had 10 children, 9 living. None of them were deformed in any form at all. She was children that were all healthy. And my father was born on the Caribou Road, Antoine Michaud, and Marie Saint-Pierre was my grandmother on my father's side. And they were farmers on the Caribou Road.
Where was the farm? Who owns their farm now?
I think the farm today is where they have, right at the, when you come out of the woods, right at the point where they bypass the road. That was their corner, and it went out the other way, straight out towards the
Stockholm area.
Stockholm area. And when my mother was married, she was 25 years old. She was 2 years older than my father. So they went to Augusta to live. he first started to work in the shoe factory, and my father never had any trade of any kind, so then they came back home to live, back to Van Buren. They bought a house from the Farrells next to Lebrun Store, which is the Hammond Hotel today. They paid $350. They didn't have the cash. They borrowed $50 from my grandmother Lapierre, which is the down payment. And the Martin brothers, or Joe Martin, owned the house at the time that they bought from them. And they were charging them 18% interest on the building, on the house. And my father started to work at the mill. We had a mill down near the St. John River.
What was the name of the mill?
That was the, it used to belong to Mr. Hammond, and then it belonged to Mr. Crawford. Had the mill, so my father worked for Crawford, and we all lived in that little house, 9 children. So my father was the boss there for a while, and he couldn't read or write. He couldn't even write his name. So we used to go down and pass the checks at the mill on a Saturday. It was a lot of fun, you know, for us kids to go down and pass the checks around. And we used to like to go into the filing room where they used to file the saws, you know. There was a lot of sparkle, you know. It was just like 4th of July for us, you know, to see the sparkles when they were filing the saws. And he worked there until it burnt down. And after that...
About what year? About what year?
About 1917 or 18 like that. And then he had odd jobs. He did go to Grand Isle.
What's at the place where the mill used to be now?
It used to be down where the potato starch factory is, down right near the river.
All right.
The near the track, opposite the mill, they had a carrier that used to carry all the shingles to the shed, which was a drying shed, you know, for the shingles. And it was very, very long. It was about the same size as where they have the potato houses today. And that was full of shingles. And they used to load the shingles into the boxcars to be shipped. They didn't use trucks in those days, you know, like they do now. And the V&A used to pick them up. And we used to go and play there. It was so much fun to play on those shingles. We call them bunches. They were bunch. Now, in 1908, Mr. Crawford had the mill in Grand Isle. And my father went up there to work for Mr. Crawford. There was no trains at that time. They had no trains, passenger trains, or no trains at all, no freight, really, no tracks. So my father had, we moved there for 8 months. We went up, it was in September, we went up in a bug board. The furniture went up in a wagon, and we went up in a bug board for Mr. Joe Parent. It was a beautiful moonlight night. It was so nice, you know. So when we got to the boarding house in Grand Isle, my father said to the girls, "You better make preparations before you go in to go to bed, because," he says, "they have no toilets here." So we all got ready. And the next morning, we had a house to move in. So we were there for 8 months, and it was quite an experience for us, you know. While we were in Grand Isle, we had rented our house. So and my mother wanted to come down to collect the rent. We crossed over St. John River in a sledge, you know, horse and buggy. And we took the CPR at Green River and came down to St. Leonard's and crossed over from St. Leonard's to Van Buren. going back home by railroad again, crossing over from Green River to Grand Isle, you know, there was water over the ice, and we were so scared that we were going to, the horse was going to go through the ice. But it must have been very early, it must have been in April or May, I don't remember just the day. But that was an experience for us.
You made it up?
All right. Oh yes, it was all right. Then we came back home, I don't remember just what time of the year we came home.
To Van Buren?
Yes. Came back to Van Buren. So we lived in a little house. I was the first baby born in our house. They bought the house the 1st of May, and I was born the 18th of November in 1900. And I lived there all my life. I never moved until I was married in 51. Moved here to Dr. Valdez. Take care of the old doctor. That wasn't working anymore. He stayed upstairs for 2 years before he died.
And prior to that?
Prior to that, I was... Well, my mother died in 1921, and we were still six children at home. My older sister was married, and my sister Marion married Dr. Dobson in 1922. My mother died in 1921.
And you graduated from high school?
Mm-hmm. And Jeanette was... that's the baby of the family. She was four years old. She was the youngest, and there was two years between the children. So I was training at the Eastern Maine General Hospital when my mother was very sick. She was operated on in Presque Isle for cancer. She was asking for me. So I came down to Presque Isle, and the last thing that my mother said to me, I want you to stay with the children. So I couldn't possibly refuse to stay, you know, not to stay home and take care.
How long have you been studying?
I was only a probationer at the time. I had gone in January, and she died in March. So I came home and took care of the family. So until my father died in 1939, but I had to really help. I helped to take care of the family. I worked, besides the housework, I worked in the store in Laverne's store and Alma Tanusa's store. And so in 1928 or 29, I took up hairdressing in Presque Isle, and I stayed with my sister and my brother-in-law, Dr. Dobson. And I had the course of hairdressing at Mrs. Jenkins in Presque Isle.
How long was the course?
3 months at that time. We didn't have to have a license at that time either. So I did hairdressing for 25 years. So I decided when, after all these years, when Chris asked me to marry him, I said yes right off. He said, well, it was just before Lent. And he says, well, we'll wait and get married. And I said, oh, yes, right off. I says, anytime. He says, well, you'll have to wait until after Lent. You have to wait 40 days, he said. So we were married day after Easter. We were married on the 27th of March. So that was the...
Dr. Alban is also the proprietor of a pharmacy in Van Drun. His firm name of Albert and Fiss, or Albert and Son. Widely known for its modern equipment, reliability, and general excellence of service, Dr. Alban has served 2 terms as town physician and on the Board of Health for 6 years. He is a medical examiner for many insurance companies and member of the examining physician for both Court of Union St. Helvetius and also a member of Modern Woodland, Maine Medical Association. And he was a member of the a doctor of the immigration for
many
years.
Would you recall any? What was his paper?
Oh, well, he had a patient called society in wealth, some poor, most of them pretty poor. But one of his best, can't call it customer, but the patient, was a woman not very far from the church here. She delivered all her babies. And she would have gone to that place, it thundered in the worst storm, because she always had her money in dimes and quarters tied in a handkerchief under her pillow. And when the baby was delivered, or the woman was delivered, she gave him the money. It wasn't much, he never charged her as he would others, but he always got this $8 or $9 for delivery.
What was it? Is that the pays?
The regulars?
No. What else did they used to pay him with?
Well, at that time, $12 to $15 was the price. And it's nothing higher unless it was so far away, but still, kind of people were poor in those days, and they had those that wanted to pay put a little money aside, especially for the confinement. But if you were to look at his old books, you'll find out that 80% were never paid. And I still have a book here, and it's all the names and the address and what they own. And when my dad died, you only had $2,000 after paying for 6 boys to go to university. It takes a lot of money.
Would people pay with chickens or meat or
tails? No, not too many. They were paid money. Farmers were not too rich in those days. Probably they were better off than they are today. Potatoes today, it's a thing of the past. Nobody makes money anymore.
And you said a while ago that you went to the university. What did you study?
I never went to university. Oh. I went to to Montreal in a studio. And I am a photographer. And then I worked there for a year, year and a half, and I went to California. And I worked in a studio. But that was during the Depression, as I told you.
Before you went to California, did you open a shop in Van Buren?
Yes. Right opposite where Thomas Michaud store is today. I had a studio there, and I worked it for a year and a half.
And where is that studio today?
That was sold, and it's a... Who is it? Burley Bushall lives there. That's where his house.
Was it the front part or?
The back part.
The back part was your show. Now we're going to talk about
ice
the yeah, the ice house.
Yeah. Okay. In those days, we didn't have electric refrigerator. But here at home, we built an ice house made up of cedar logs down to square to 8 by 8 inches. And the inside of the house, the ice house, was 14 by 14. And there was a double door to get in, so that the ice inside wouldn't melt that fast. And we had the cupboards inside with the shelves and doors, where we put our meat, or milk, or anything that we wanted to keep. And over the ice we had sawdust about a couple of feet, so that the cold air wouldn't escape. And the walls above the logs were bored with the sawdust in between, so we could keep our meat, milk, butter, anything fresh for just as long as we do today with the electric refrigerator.
How big pieces of ice would you put in there?
We used to, the ice were about 3 feet long and a foot and a half thick, and about a foot and a half on top. They were big chunks.
And where would you get them?
Yeah, that was cut on the St. John River. In those days, the water was pure.
And who was cutting it?
I think it was Mador. Must have been.
On board?
You see it. Phidias Mador. If I remember right. It's quite a long time ago. Could be. We might have to change from year to year.
Who was that? Joe Levasseur. Do you remember how much you used to pay for the ice?
We used to buy that by the cord.
Yeah.
By the cord?
Cord of ice. Uh-huh. You must have used at least 5 cords.
Oh, yes, at least.
Yes, because it was a big house.
And it kept all summer. In the fall, there was still ice in there.
But in the fall, you wouldn't put anything in there.
No.
It was just for summer.
In the pantry or in cupboards.
But you don't remember how much you had to pay for a cord?
It wasn't much.
It wasn't much.
No. I don't believe it was more than 50 cents a block.
Yeah. You know, I never understood cutting ice on...
Did you ever see them cut ice?
No.
Mm-hmm.
All of the units have quite a
bit. The ice is pretty thick.
Did they hit the water, would it?
No. Oh. Well, the water stays right there.
Yes, but the water was underneath.
You start
thick?
With a pick, you make a hole. Then they have a cross saw of just one handle. I still have a saw here. And you just saw the ice with a saw.
Then you turn around in a row, about 15 feet one way, and then you cut across the other side.
They had to be quick to pick up the...
No, it stays there.
It could be right
there. Just thicker than that, the ice, you mean? They didn't go way under to the water.
They went way down to the water.
How is it they won't lose it after they cut it?
Oh, it wouldn't lose because the ice is all solid.
Oh, it's all solid.
None of it would move.
Yeah, but after they had the two or three loads out.
Close.
Oh, they picked them up and put them on.
Ice is lighter than water.
That's right.
So it
stayed right on top.
Oh, that's
fine. Yeah. Then they had one of those
I remember the handles,
grips,
huh?
Grips.
Yeah, the grips.
And them to open them. And it was
dangerous, you know, that they'd leave a mark. It was dangerous, especially if we went to sliding or skating on the water, on the ice.
For the red flag.
They'd have...
It freezes pretty fast.
And would the water refreeze again? I mean, would it accumulate more ice again? And would they cut it more than one time a year?
Not in the same
fall, no.
Probably wouldn't have time to go much freeze more than 9 inches. It'd
be such nice...
That ice was clear blue. Water was pure in those days. We used to go bathing in St. John River, all the boys. And we used to walk up the middle of... No, not walk. There was a kind of a peninsula in the middle of the St. John River, above the bridge. We used to swim. There was kind of a lake on one side, and on the other side too. And that water was pure. You could drink it. We the last time we went there, it was a foot of snow. We changed our clothes in the branches, no leaves though, but we hurried so nobody would see us. Jump in the water. There's no ice, but there's a lot of snow on the shore. And that was fun. In those days, they were men, you know, not children. C'est des fois